just to thank this. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that keeps us from getting anxious in these times that we're in, to keep anxiety away from us, Lord. Fear, all of that's gone. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for putting in us a steady heart and a steady mind and a peace in our heart and mind that we would be able to help folks in the days ahead. And I thank you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight with nobody having problems with any kind of communications set up into this room. And I praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for getting close to us. And praise you, Father, for your anointing with wisdom and revelations into the things that you want us to know, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the way things are going now. It's just awesome what we're seeing in the spiritual realm, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that each one of us would be pressing into you, Lord, to be able to hear your voice in a way that we could be led daily, every moment, by your voice. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to accomplish tonight in this great bunch of UBM fellowship. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, lead us, guide us tonight into the things that you have us to talk about. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Lord, let that strawberry milkshake of Elisha's come over here. Elisha says, no way, Jose. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
I've already asked the Lord about this, but I just like agreement with my brothers and sisters. I'll just pray again. Father God, I'm trying to eat more properly and look after my health better. And Father, I need you to help me to do this because I don't know how to do it too well. So, Father, I pray that that you would lead me and guide me for this. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you so far, Father, because I lost about 6 pounds already. So, thank you, Father.
Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I think I got yours. I found yours. My. Yeah. Lord, I just thank you for that too. I praise you, Father, for showing me and reminding me to eat more properly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I thank you, Lord, that everything I eat is going to be good for me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? And then boy sitting over eating a strawberry milkshake, for goodness sake. It can't be good for you. Bring it over here and let me dispose of it for you. Oh, boy. Okay, anybody else? They've been out picking strawberries. Did y'all go pick them, Obadiah? Okay, good. Awesome. What you looking for? What you looking for? Whoa, man, we can see the mites in your hair. Okay. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Uh-oh, Mama turned them off. All right, has anybody got anything you want to pray about or comment about? How about a testimony? I tell you what, I want to pray. I just want to praise God. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to get up this morning without any help. I thank you, Father, that you allowed me to breathe today. I thank you, Lord, that I could see everything that I wanted to see today. And I could hear everything that I wanted to hear. And I could thank you, Lord, for being my God. And I thank you, Father, that I was able to drive downtown and come back with no wrecks because you were helping us all the way, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for your continual work in our lives in Jesus' name. And Lord, I know that we don't thank you enough for everything that you do for us. And I praise you, Father, that taking away all distractions from us, that all we're doing now is running after you in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that every time we open up the Word of God, there's a new revelation comes forth in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else thankful to the Lord? Amen. I am too. I thank you, Lord, that very soon, soon and very soon, I'm going to be in my new room. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All right. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any questions? Anybody got any questions about what David talked about last night or Friday night? Need to comb your hair a little bit, though, I saw. Talking to Monroe. All right. Yeah. David's going to do an update tomorrow on the situation with the asteroid and the Planet X. There's some new things coming out. And I believe the Lord wants me to wait and let David do it tomorrow on the broadcast. But I, if anybody has any questions about what's going on, by the way, President Trump has okayed him to use his name in regards to the information that we were giving out in these warnings. So it comes from the highest source. So, and David's got some more revelations that he's going to share also about Planet X. Just be ready, I guess. Be ready for what's happening. And listen, if you're anywhere close, if you got family members anywhere close to the fault line or East Coast or West Coast or Gulf, more readily the East Coast and the Gulf Coast, that's where the first one's going to be. It's been predicted that one's going to cause a great tsunami up and down the East Coast and also in the Gulf Coast. By that I mean places all up and down. Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, all of the coastal areas there are subject to being overloaded with water. Overloaded. This thing is not small. And when it hits, it's going to displace a lot of water. And you know what that causes? That causes, and actually, over in South Africa, also on the west coast of us, that'd be the south and west coast of Africa as well. Yeah, Joe.
It's just interesting. The latest post on YouTube was about also, what was it? David was reading a revelation about 2016 it was. But he was also talking about planet attacks and tsunamis, things like that. But what's interesting for me is that this was the first time I've heard that, he said maybe there's some of the pieces going to strike the moon. Did you know about that?
Did you say pieces to strike the moon?
Yeah, yeah. He was talking about, it was in the latest video on YouTube. I think it's the latest one on YouTube I've listened to, yeah.
Are you talking about David?
He said, you're talking about that. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. I hadn't heard him say that.
Anybody heard the latest one? Anybody heard the latest YouTube or listen to it, Julie?
Joe, can you tell me which one you're talking about?
Okay, I'll have a look now. Tell you that. No,
put it in the chat, and I'll look it up.
On the YouTube. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Well, if it wasn't Friday night, it had to be Sunday or Wednesday.
I think he's talking about the publications on the YouTube channel that we've been regularly posting. Not necessarily something.
Yeah, it was not older, on Friday or Sunday.
It's an older teaching, right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's right. 2016.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't heard him say anything here recently about it hitting the moon at all. That doesn't take it out of the equation, because it could, I guess. If it gets in the way, it's history. But the biggest thing about this android, is, from what we've heard, is it's going to be in three pieces, possibly more, but we know about three pieces, one in the North Atlantic, one close, a little bit closer to Puerto Rico, and the other one right off the coast of Puerto Rico. Now, I don't know how big the pieces are, but this is not a small asteroid. And Puerto Rico is just going to be washed, looks like. And a lot of the Caribbean islands are going to be washed. Florida, washed. You've got, out in Florida, you've got a tsunami coming up both the east side and the west side of Florida that'll meet in the middle. And because here's Puerto Rico, here's Florida, right down here. Here's Puerto Rico. This is Florida. That thing hits, it's going to go both sides, Gulf and the Atlantic side. And then 10 days after that is when Planet X comes closest to the U.S. It's going to come between Venus and Earth. And it's running about 10 times as fast on an orbital plane around the sun for a few times. I'll let David explain all that tomorrow. So that's why he has, he's taken people through the wilderness now so that we can begin to start believing God for the things that we're going to need. Start believing God for the things you're going to need. Start praying and asking the Lord to put that, stuff in you, that the faith in you. You got to believe me for it. And don't back up. Always stay with it. Keep confessing it. A lot of times we get in that confession and we're getting discouraged because we don't see it in our time frame. And our time frame is not what God wants. God's trying to perfect us in our faith, and the way we do that is just believe. Remember what happened when all the people of Israel went out into the desert? Most of them didn't believe God. Most of them. They all got hung up on the giants in the land, and none of them got to go in but Joshua and Caleb, because they were the only two that had faith. Yeah, we can go on out and whip that bunch. And that's the type of attitude we have to understand and trust the Lord for everything, even for your family's safety, the ones you're believing for. Don't back up on that. You back up on it, it's not going to be good. Because it's our faith that he's doing all this for. He is cleaning house out of the apostate churches with these things that are coming up. And I can't think of a better way to do it, can y'all? Because most of them are thinking that bus is fixed. He's just waiting to come down to pick them up and take them out of all the trouble. Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's necessary, Joe, that we all can hear God's voice now. Because in times of trouble, you definitely want to hear God's voice then as well. So getting used to doing that, get it. And I'm talking to myself too, because sometimes I get distracted in my quiet time with the Lord, and I shouldn't let that happen. Now we should dedicate some time during the day, first part of the day probably best, into spending that quiet time with the Lord and just talking to him and finding out what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it, and listen to him and have your pencil and your notebook ready when he starts talking to you, and write the things down that he's wanting you to do. If there's correction, start working on it. And it's, look, I know a lot of people don't, I'll just put it this way. When you go into your quiet time, take your book and expect the Lord. That's faith. Expect the Lord to speak to you. Always expect it, and he will. And you might think, well, I think I heard this. Go ahead and write it down. And keep writing it down. Keep writing it down. Keep writing it down. And you'll understand, that's the Lord talking to you. It's like everything in the spiritual realm. It starts with your imagination. Just imagine Jesus sitting in front of you when you're talking to him in the mornings. That's what I do. I put this chair over here in front of my laid-back chair. And I ask Jesus to come on in, start talking to me. And I can just imagine him sitting there talking to me, and he'll start talking to me. And that's what he wants. All right, anybody else got some words of that they'd like to share? I think Missy's got a little testimony she'd like to share. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
I was really struggling with anxiety and fear, about telling my family about this and stuff like that, and fear of, whatever. I just felt like it was just like an attack of the enemy, And so finally I got a hold of it, and I repented of fear of man and anxiety over it. And so I asked the Lord for like a random word, concerning that, and it just didn't make sense. So then later, not long after that, I felt to pick up my phone and look and see what my Vines app gives me. Three verses, a psalm, a gospel, and then one from the whole Bible. And this is what the Lord gave me. They're really good. because I was, even before that, I was thinking, I'm just a nobody, and David says that too. And he likes that song, by the way, Joe. I think I've mentioned that before, but anyway, the Psalm verse I got was Psalm 51:3, and it says, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." So I'm like, okay, Lord, he's like saying, you know, and I repented, so I'm good there, you know. And then when I went to the next verse, it was Mark 6. I'm going to read 1 to 6. Mark 6, 1 to 6. And it says, "And he went out thence, and he comes into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, whence has this man these things? And what is the wisdom that is given unto this man? And what mean such mighty works wrought by his hands?" And verse 3 is the one that my app said, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him." Who's this nobody? I had to really laugh when I got that. I was like, oh, wow, Lord, you're cool. I'll go on. "And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." It's, you know, as I was reading this again, it was like the Lord saying, you know, I still spoke it. I knew they weren't going to receive it, but I still spoke it, you know. You know, and it made me also think of, you know, I think there's two places in Jeremiah where the Lord told them not to be afraid of their faces or to be afraid of their looks, you know. Anyway, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then I got Matthew 10:34. I'm not sure how far I'm going to read there. I have to go look quick. I'm going to start in 34 and read to the end, I think it is. Mark 10:34. "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that doth not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water, cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily say I unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So thank you, Lord, for showing all of us what each of us needs to do. And I just command fear of man and anxiety over it to go from anyone that's dealing with that, and help us to fight the good fight of the faith, Lord, and to be obedient to you and to love you above all else, Lord. And do as you direct us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for filling our mouths and preparing the hearts to receive, Lord, those who you would have us to speak to, and whatever shape or form it may be, whether you know, call him face to face or send him email, whatever, Lord, whatever as you direct us, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for putting peace and rest in each and every one of our hearts, Lord. And cast down doubt and unbelief and scoffing from the enemy towards us and in the hearts of all those that you would have us to speak to, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that no matter what, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have your angels there to watch over and keep our family members, Lord, and none will be snatched from this earth until they've repented and believed in you, Lord. And if they would die through all this, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that they will be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah, Anna, Obadiah, or Elisha.
I just wanted to share a testimony. I shared it on the local meet with our local group, but Saturday I was making breakfast and I took the pan off the burner and carried it to the table. And when I turned my back to do that, I hear screaming and I look back and Shoshana had grabbed and touched the burner, you know, right after I had taken the pan off of it, you know, and this is a spiral burner. So she had two stripes on her index finger and then one going across the middle and the ring finger. And it didn't look very good. Like part of it was blistered already. Part of it was chalky looking. I don't know. It looked, actually, that's not nice. And it just looked bad. And so we were praying for her, trying to calm her down. And I have an aloe vera plant, so I put some of that on there, but I don't think it helped. And I told the boys, go get your dad. Go get your dad. He was outside. And so Matthew came in and we eventually got her calmed down and we were just praying for her, thinking the Lord, it's not going to be burnt. She's healed. You know, whatever. She's not going to have pain. We got her to eat some food and I bandaged her up and she was picking at it and, you know, crying because of it. And so I bandaged up all her fingers. It looked like three little casts on her, like her whole finger because her fingers are so small. It looks so sad. And, then I put her to bed. Actually, I took her outside to Matthew first to kiss him goodnight before she went to bed. And she cheered right up and she showed Matthew her fingers. She's like, isn't daddy pretty? but anyways, I got her right to bed. She didn't have any problems. Yeah, she'll never, I thought about that, Barbara. I was like, man, I've told her not to touch this before. I'm going to have to really teach her. And I was like, no, she'll never touch it again. So thank you, Lord, that she's never going to get burnt again like this again. But when she got up out of bed and came out, I forgot about it because she had taken all the bandages off in bed. And she was using her hand. She wasn't crying. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And I looked and the blisters on her two middle fingers were gone. It was just the index finger already just after her nap. And she's been using her hand since. And today the index finger looks pretty bad, but it hasn't bothered her at all. She hasn't cried since then. And she's been using her hand and sucking her finger and everything she normally does. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Father. So Shana knows hot now, don't she? That's hot. Don't touch. Amen. She's a sweetheart. All right. Anybody else got a testimony? Yeah, Missy.
I forgot to share about, I did tell my sister, I talked to my sister an hour and a half. So I've really felt the Lord prompted me even before today, you know, to really talk to her. But I told her about it and she took it well. She wasn't panicked or spazzed about it or nothing, you know, and she actually we prayed together about it for, you know, the family and anyone that the Lord would have us to tell and everything. And in the middle of, you know, part of the way through me talking to her, actually probably towards the end, I said to her, it just popped into my head to tell her, well, I'll just leave it to you. You pray about it as to whether or not you're going to share it with anybody in your family, you know? So, she said she would do that. And, she was actually encouraged, you know, she wasn't like down about it or nothing or whatever, because, you know, I gave the upside, you know, we got this great revival coming and, you know, because of it and all, you know, and so on and so forth. And so that went really well. So, you know, always when I get to share something of the Lord, you know, and really get to talk to somebody, you know, that always just gives me a Jesus high. It just really pumps me up and encourages me, especially when you know they receive it. That's always a bonus. That's the icing on the cake. Speaking of which, there's a friend of Alex's that lives up across one of the streets. Him and his half, actually his stepbrother were friends with Alex when they were in high school, but they haven't really communicated, I don't think, for quite a while now. But anyway, his name is Lewis, but everybody calls him Louis. So whenever I see him, I say hi. And, you know, once in a while, I get in a conversation with him. This is like the second time I got in a conversation with him, ended up getting in conversation with him about the Lord. I just felt, started to walk away, and I just felt so prompted of the Lord to just talk to him about the Lord, you know. And he is such a sweet kid. I think he's like 25, but and he's just very respectful and he listens and he says, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I need to, you know, go back to church. And I just encouraged him, you know, I said, above all, read your Bible. That's the most important thing, is to read your Bible. That helps you get to know the Lord and so on. So Father, I thank you for that conversation I had with Louis, Lord, and pray that he does take out his Bible and read his Bible and take my exhortation to make you first in his life, that you're the most important thing, you know, in life, you know. So to make you first, Lord. So I just thank you, Lord, for bringing him into the kingdom completely, Lord. I preached a simple gospel to him, and I pray, Lord, for him and all his family, Lord. You keep them safe and bring them all into the kingdom, Lord. And that in these things that we got coming ahead, Lord, that will help get them on their track with you, Lord. Repentance and belief in you and growing up in you quickly. Like, you're going to do that for many people, Lord. Just thank you for pouring out your spirit upon him and all his family. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Good night, boys. See y'all. See you tomorrow, Elisha. You come here, you little boy. They get in the back of the truck. I get in the back of the truck and they want me to do the evil man thing. And I'll sit in the back of the truck and I say, come here, little boy. Then I'll take them and tickle them or throw them out the truck. Oh, he's got that. What is it? Bison. Good night, Obi. Good night, Elisha. See y'all tomorrow, buddy. Yeah, look at Elisha. Hey, girl. She crawling around. Boy, she's going everywhere. All right. Anybody else got something they want to share? Let me ask y'all a question. Does anyone that you know in your family believe in the post-tribulational rapture? Yeah, well, I'm talking about not yourself, of course. Yeah, Ben, you believe it? I know you do. Missy does. Yeah, Missy.
My sister texted me something the other day, and long story short,
we can only pray.
I know before she believed in pre-trib, but I'm not so sure about that. And when I talked to her today and was telling her about Planet X and the asteroid, I didn't say anything about the tribulation. She didn't say anything about the tribulation. But I thank you, Lord, that she does know the truth about that. I'm believing that she knows the truth, and it, and if she doesn't, it's going to be very, very soon, of course. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's just to tell you a little something kind of funny. several years ago, when Sandy was telling one of her dreams, and it was about the tribulation started, the catastrophes, natural disasters, whatever. And the Lord used her to translate this, some people, and I think two of them were like pastors or whatever. And the one sitting there not understanding, you know, what in the world happened. I didn't think I was going to be here, you know, or something like that, he was saying. And so her and the sister is writing a dream down for her. They were like, so what should we name this? And what popped in my head right away was, it's not what they thought. But yeah, that's going to be really puzzling to a lot of people. So thank you, Lord, that they're going to know the truth right quick. What in the world happened?
Yeah. How come we're in tribulation? We're not supposed to be in tribulation. We're supposed to be in heaven. They're going to go looking for the truth. Praise God, yeah. Praise God. Signs and wonders they'd be looking for. Who is that gal over there? Who is that guy over there? Who are that? Yeah. Man, hey, people getting saved, healed, delivered, and set free. We don't do that in that church I was in. I said, we got to go find out who that is, because this guy lied to us. It's to clean out. It's to clean those churches out. There's a bunch of them. That's right, Joe. I think finding God's voice in the eye of the storm. Are you open to his guidance? Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. All right. Anybody else? What's on your mind, Ben? Or Andrew?
Lately been trying to keep myself undistracted. It's hard because it's so easy to be distracted. Just the daily walk. And, you know, when I'm at work, I'm not constantly thinking about what the Lord's thinking. I'm thinking about what I need to fix in the furnace or what I need to fix in the air conditioner. And sometimes in my thoughts, I'm like, why am I fixing this thing? Why don't I just pray to God and it just gets fixed? But I guess I got to fix it because it's my job. But I tend to overthink when I do something wrong and tend to get some rejection and some condemnation in my head. And I rebuke it all the time in the name of Jesus. So I don't want to let that hold me back. You know, it just the daily walk is what's going through my mind and what I can be doing, but it's not what I can do. It's what he does through me. Anyways.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, this is, we don't need to get any condemnation. We just need to ask the Lord to help us. Yeah, go ahead, Ben. Help us to overcome.
With this asteroid coming and Planet X doing its thing, coming across, how soon can we assume that the man-child will be sort of revealed? Is there some sort of answer to that, or should we be patient?
Yeah, that's a definite time that the man-child will be anointed, and then he's going to bring the bride into the tribulation. It's going to be all around the asteroid and the Planet X time frame right in there. And
I think my dad's got an answer.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
I don't have the answer, but I guess now we're going to know approximately what will happen in 1,260 days for the tribulation time. And we'll know what happens after that, the 1,290 days. Pretty close. Anyway. And the 1,335th day, too. So we'll be able to know that when that year of wrath comes, it's probably going to be a third world war.
Yeah.
So, and we would know that too. But, yeah.
I think the tribulation is going to start right in there at the same time of the asteroid hit, and then Planet X 10 days later. During that time frame, the man-child is going to be anointed, because he'll have to take the bride into the wilderness. And by the dreams that we've had, we'll also, some things have happened in the dreams that we've had that coming up real soon. Lets us know that that's when the tribulation starts. Of course, you know about the covenant. But the covenant of many, I believe, is going to be something similar to what the Jesera is. And that's the financial happening that's already been signed by, I forget how many nations, like 300 nations, something like that. Finalized yet, but we'll see. But I do know that the man-child ministry is going to be anointed here very quick, very quick, within the time frame that I said, by the 4th of June. And the way, as David often said, the way to get into the bride and the man-child ministry is just believe that you're going to be, by faith. And start walking by faith, doing things by faith. That's what we've been doing around here. Somebody has a need, we give. Sometimes you give whether you have it or not. You know what I'm talking about? That's what the Lord wants us to do. He's really been testing people here, and I'm sure y'all have too. And it's been actually pretty neat to watch the Lord do what he does. Everybody's needs get met. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, but it, everybody's needs get met. And people are given sacrificially. So that's what it's all about. Believe in God. Let's see. Let me see. Let's see here. What's going on down there in the chat? For Planet X? Yes, there's quite a bit, as a matter of fact. And David will probably go over that tomorrow, so don't miss tomorrow's program. Does anybody know who? Does anybody know what the Colvin Bible is?
Oh, what?
I know Colvin. I believe it's K-O-H-L-R-E-N or R-O-N. I think it's R-O-N. That tells about the last time that Planet X came through, Sunil. And that was just, yeah. And that talks about what happened during that time frame, during the Egyptians and the Israelis. What was that? How many years ago was that? 3,600, something like that? Anyway, yeah, that talks about it. If you listen to David tomorrow, I think he's going to explain a lot about that. I think now. I think that's what we talked about today. Yeah, Miss Judy. Missy. Miss Judy.
I wondered if Sunil has listened to the last broadcast on Sunday, where David spoke about stuff with Planet X and the asteroid and all those things that he spoke. I think it was last Sunday. Sorry. If not, he spoke some on that was in the Bible. He spoke what was in the Bible. What about the Egyptians, what they saw, that kind of thing. Yep. If you didn't listen to that, I can put the link in the chat for you.
And actually, that Colvin Bible tells, it shows, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while since I've looked at it, but it shows some ancient writings about when it came through. The people had seen it come through, Planet X come through, and how close it was. They could see it with their naked eye and the devastation it created. Do you have a question, Ben?
No.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. Okay. Anybody else? I don't know if they called it the Red Planet or not. I don't remember. Go ahead, Missy.
There was a Friday night live stream, and then David did it on Sunday. Then the 17th of April is chapters 11 through 14 of Isaiah talks. I'm pretty sure that's where he shows that it talks about Planet X. That's what he sees in it and all. If I remember correctly, does that sound right, Julie? Yeah. So, yeah, that's from April 17th. If you go into the updates on the site, April 17th Bible study, it's pretty interesting.
I talked a little bit about it, or I talked a lot about it on Friday night, last Friday night. What is today? Today's Thursday. No, this is Tuesday. Okay. There is a reference about the 2 years before the earthquake. I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about there, Sunil. We've been waiting for years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe. Okay. Anybody else got something they want to talk about before we listen to some praise music? All right, let's listen to some good old praise music. I think I got something worked up there. It's a good one. Got to get God out the box. Got to give it a minute to download, I guess.
I'm leaping over 1,000 fences and running like a child in open fields. I'm leaving comfort to chase your presence. That wind I felt before, I want to feel. Not bound to boxes. Since the fire of the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, this wild freedom, nothing can stop it. Since the fire of the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, it might look crazy from the outside. Born again to blaze a trail. Some say I'm foolish, but I'm doing just fine. Got a history that proves you never fail. I'm not bound to boxes. Since the fire of the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, this wild off disappointment, reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new. You're breaking off disappointment, reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new. You're kicking down limitations. I'm still-
That's a good song too. The Song from Heaven. You know what I did? I ran across, I got a guy down here that when he was very young, teenager, early 20s, he came to the Lord and he wanted to be a preacher. And he had some real bad run-ins with some religious people. And he just gave it all up. He said, this is crazy. This is not what I want. Because he ran into some religious people. I don't know what all the circumstances was. But today, I ran across, does anybody ever do those Instagrams where they get the Christ-centered stuff? It comes in, it's just, they're about, at the most, you know, a couple of minutes, 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. And then this thing popped up in front of me. I said, oh my goodness, this is for her. It says, many people, this is written on a, like a window. And it says, many people reject Jesus because of bad experiences with religious people. But here's the thing. Jesus had bad. It says, Jesus had bad experiences with religious people too. Okay, I finally got to stop. Excuse me. Had a pound on it. He said, but here's the thing. Jesus had bad experiences with with religious people too. In fact, they killed him. People will let you down. Jesus won't. And I said, I got to send that to Harvey. And he's a good guy. He's got cancer. They just took a part of his lung off. But he said he couldn't open it up. He probably doesn't have Instagram on his phone. And so I'm just going to write it out and send it to him. And I've already given him a portion of the real good news in a typed out form Word document. And I hope he still got it. And I'm going to send this to him. Y'all pray with me. Let's just ask the Lord to anoint it. To open up his eyes to see. Father, I just lift up old Harvey to you. He's been a blessing in ways. And Lord, I know that he's bitter and there's some things that he's got that needs to be taken care of. But I know that you can break through all that garbage. And I thank you, Lord. He said he don't want nothing to do with it, but I know he does. I know he does. And I thank you, Father, for softening his heart. Grant repentance to him and bringing him into the kingdom, Father God. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name, for Harvey. Open up his spiritual eyes to see, Lord God. And I thank you for doing that. I send the angels over there now to show favor toward us. He already does. And to show favor toward you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Harvey. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know y'all believe that too. All right, Missy.
I'm sorry. I just, like, for some reason today, I just have a lot to share. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, you know, the Lord's been showing me stuff, bringing to my attention things and showing me things that he wants me to do or not do or whatever. And since I'm believing that we're going to be down in Tennessee very soon. Anyway, what the Lord brought to my attention and, you know, is his sovereignty, how he's for one, my car inspection is due by the end of this month. Ain't going to get it done. Because I know I'm not going to need it, right? My Sam's Club renewal is due Thursday. Not going to get it done because I ain't going to need it. The Lord told me to put my put food from the freezer into the fridge and unplug the freezer. I've been letting the food slowly dwindle down because, you know, it's like you get a good bite of meat, you just, you know, throw it in the freezer, you know? And haven't been doing that. And I just been patient and waiting for like if we get down to nothing in a particular kind of meat, seeing if there's a sale or whatever. Anyway, but there's not been. Anyway, the other I do my wash every 2 weeks, and Monday I did it. And 2 weeks from now will be after the 25th, okay? And I don't have enough fabric softener to do the wash again. Ain't buying none. It's like the Lord, you know, I think, oh, I need more. And then the Lord says, no, you don't, you know? And then I was about 400 or 500 miles until I was due for an oil change. And I usually don't do it early, you know, but I had a coupon, so I felt the Lord wanted me to go ahead and get it done. And it's just stuff like that, just one thing after another. And there's probably some other things that I can't remember, but just things that the Lord's brought to my attention. I just thought I'd share it with y'all. It's encouraged me because I know the Lord's guiding me, you know. So thank you, Lord, for guiding us all. What we need to do, and the little and the big things.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey, Pat. All right, anyone else? Let's see what's going on. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm working night shift right now. So I just took a break. Everybody's taking a break. And I wanted to share something that the Lord gave me this morning in Psalm 91, if I could, because I'm just going to jump on basically and probably be jumping back off here in about 15 to 20 minutes. But I know I saw this a little while ago, and then I kind of tucked it to the side and just, you know, let it simmer there, I guess, in my mind. But Lord took me over to 91, Psalm 91, this morning. And I felt that I needed, this. I know that it just hit me that we are, we're in the process. Probably going to be some noise here happening. I'm not sure where that's at. Somebody's doing some drilling. We are obviously in unprecedented times. The things that are going to happen, you know, have never happened, at least to our, in our history that you know, we know of, other than, you know, extrapolating certain things that happened in Noah's day and Lot's day and various other different times. And it just hit me. I guess I don't know if anybody else was feeling it. Maybe me, but was feeling this, tension and I don't know, maybe anxiety and maybe a certain amount of double-mindedness or shaking or however you want to say it internally. There's just some you know, fears coming up and thoughts and battles that I had to deal with, etc. And I think it basically just all boils down to looking at the things that are coming upon us, which are quickly coming upon us, and feeling that I don't have the resources, you know, due to lack of failure, failures in my past and this and that and whatever, just feeling very weak and not feeling that I have the necessary faith resources to endure and make it through the process of the things that are coming upon us. And so I went to Psalm 91, and I was reading there today, and it just kind of, I guess the Lord confirmed this concept in my mind, and it's very helpful. And in the first verse, he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And as I was thinking about that, the first thought I had was, who is it that he's talking about there? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And this thought had occurred to me before, is that this, he's talking about the Lord here, the Lord Jesus. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And looking at that, "he that dwelleth" as being the Lord Jesus, and the Most High being the Father. And as I thought about that, the psalmist here, or David, I'm assuming it's David that wrote this psalm, he reiterated it in one sense by saying, he said, "I will," verse 2, "I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And as I got to thinking about this, you know, the Lord has He's given us that scripture, I think, is in John 15:7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And as I was, when I'm looking at this verse and all the promises of Psalm 91, "He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings thou shalt take refuge. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrows that fly by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." And in the face of it, it seemed like in the face of the things that are coming towards us, earthquakes and tsunamis and floods and all the various different destructions that are coming upon the world, I was feeling the sense of, I don't know if I have the faith to stand up and endure and take and get through that process. And the Lord very clearly showed me that it's not my faith that is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. It's the Lord Jesus's faith. He's the only one that was unmistakably unfailing in entering in and staying in that secret place. Every one of us have gone through stands of faith and come out victorious on the other side. But if you're like me, many of the times that I have stood in faith for certain things, I've experienced failure, and I've had to go back and go through the process again and again. But Jesus never, at least that I know of, never experienced that failure. He is the only one that successfully is dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. And so this is the point that for me is that I don't have to worry, or concern myself as much with if I'm going to have all the necessary resources for every particular situation that comes my way and to stand on this and to be able to overcome here, as much as I have to, for my ability to overcome through there will be my ability to trust in the fact that Jesus has already, he is already there. He's already dwelling in that secret place of the Most High, which allows for all these other benefits connected to it, you know, through those scriptures that I just read. And my responsibility to a certain degree is not so much predominantly focusing on my faith to receive all those benefits as much as it is my responsibility to abide in him. Because it is his faith that has already obtained those benefits. And so the magnitude of the things that are coming up against us, we just don't even know what they all are. And I believe that, you know, it's, you know, I can personally get overwhelmed in the thought of all of these needs, all these requirements, all these things coming towards us, yet, and not having time to decipher all the process and figure this out and figure that out or whatever it is. But I do have the ability to abide in Jesus. And Jesus has all the resources at his disposal. And so it just kind of, I guess it kind of released me a little bit to realize now it is my responsibility to abide in him, and that abiding, he's given us specific things that we need to do in order to abide in him. One being that verse 2 in 91:2, in verse 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so we, you know, and of course, you know, Michael and David, and there's been so much teaching related to this about our speaking in agreement and making sure that we do not speak against the benefits and salvation and the word of God. And just to speak and be in agreement is, I believe, part of that aspect of abiding in him. And in verse 9, it just kind of reinforced it for me. The psalmist, King David, I'm assuming, said, for thou, O Lord, or Jesus, for thou art my refuge. Thou hast made, or you have made, the Most High thy habitation. And it, to me, it just reinforced that David, the psalmist, is taking his strength and putting his strength on the Lord Jesus and his ability to dwell in that, the Most High, that secret place of the Most High. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. In other words, I believe he's saying, for you, Jesus, are my refuge, for you have made the Most High thy habitation. So I don't know if this, if anybody else agrees with that concept or is thinking about it, but I know that it, to me, kind of puts to rest my ability to be able to overcome the unknown and in all its vast possibilities. You know, the Lord said that, the time that we're going into is a time of such travail, such destruction that the world has never seen and will never again see. So, you know, I think of that line that I don't remember who, maybe it's Thomas Jefferson or somebody said, Thomas Paine, these are the times that try men's souls. And I know, you know, I'm feeling, excuse me, that my soul is being tried through this process. And I'm simply trusting in that abiding place that the Lord has showed me to abide in him. Trust in him. He will take it and lead us through each situation as necessary and provide what we need at the time we need it. So I don't know if this, if anybody else is feeling this pressure or feeling this or whatever, but I had to just express that.
Amen. Well, I'm sure there's a lot.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. I'm sure there's a lot of people that, you know, hearing this and getting anxious about it, getting anxiety all over them. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Which way do I need to go? You know, all this kind of stuff. This Psalms 91 tells you what to do. And I'm glad you brought this in, Pat. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret. Well, what's our job? To dwell in that secret place of the Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And that's what we have to do. God wants us to trust him just like the Israelites. He wanted them to trust him too when they went into the land. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He's going to deliver us. It's not going to be any problem. As long as we're listening to him, nothing's going to come upon us. And from the deadly pestilence, he will cover thee with his pinions. He's going to have a shed over us. It's going to be awesome. All we have to do is, like you were talking about, Pat, is dwell in that secret place with the Most High. And that's that time we were talking about earlier. I don't know if you were in here when we talked about getting having those daily times with the Lord where you are completely listening to him tell you what, you know, sit down. Believe that God's there, that Jesus is there talking to you. And then write your notes down that you hear what he says. And then you can go over them and ask him questions. And he'll give you an answer. Every day. And we should spend a lot of time with him. Now, at this time we're at right now, I know some of us can't spend as much as we'd like to. It ought to be, and I'm speaking, it ought to be a time that is dear to us. It's something that we look forward to, and it takes discipline to do it, to be able to do it, because how many of you know you get distracted? I don't know if I want to sit down, you know, and do that for an hour, at least an hour. And there will come a time when you can't wait to get to that time that you're going to spend with the Lord. And that's what I'm longing for, is that time. When it's, oh man, I can't wait to see what the Lord has to say today. Glory to God, we're going to get in there, and me and him's going to have a good time together. But this Psalms 91 is for us. That's a promise. All these are promises for us. And we don't need to get anxious about anything. We don't need to do that. Okay, Joe, go ahead, brother. And I'm glad you brought it up, Pat, because I know some of us, we get to thinking about all this stuff coming. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, the earth is fixing to rip open here everywhere. Earthquakes going everywhere, you know. Tsunamis all over this crazy place. Water going everywhere. Yeah, Pat.
Can I just, I don't know if I was clear. Maybe I was clear, but the thing that hit me that I need to depend upon, or that I needed to focus my faith on, is being in there. The benefits, in one sense, do not depend upon me and my faith and my righteousness, my standing or my abilities or lack of abilities. It doesn't depend upon me. It depends upon Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the one that has already the one that has already reached it for us. And we simply are in him by virtue of his translating us into him, out of the kingdom of darkness, into his kingdom. And we have the opportunity to rely upon his faith by being in him to receive those benefits. And I don't, you know, I'm sure that maybe this is just a tumbler in my mind that needed to click or whatever, but it certainly took the, I don't know, maybe some obligation or something upon me. It's him is the one, he is the one that is supplying all of this, all of these benefits. He has made the way for it for us, and we get to just go along for the ride. So it's kind of the thing that I'm thinking. We're there going along for the ride, and we receive the benefits he's already accomplished or obtained for us. So that was it.
Amen. He tells us, he said, you abide in me and I'll abide in you. And that's where the comfort comes from. The more time that you spend with him, the more that you're going to understand. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about anything other than what he wants us to do. And to build your faith up. And you build your faith up by staying with him, staying in the word. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Joe.
A couple of days ago, I did a study on Psalm 91.
Great.
From David. And being, I'm just gonna say a few things. On Psalm 90:90, verse 1, he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place, verse Jesus. In other words, we have to be in Jesus. We have to abide in him. But there's a few things David talked about. He says, how do we abide in Christ? He says, 1 John 2:5, keeping his word. 1 John 2:6 is walk as he walk. John 7:38 is believe the scriptures. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And 1 John 2:24 is what you heard from the beginning. And 1 John 3:6, he says, you sinneth not, you cannot sin because it's Christ in you. And then 1 John 4:16, he says, if you abide in love, you abide in God. That's just a few things. I'm not going to talk about much of it, but that's what David said, how you abide in Christ, because it is you have to abide in Christ. That's how your protection are. So I'll find the teaching and I'll send it to Julie or somebody that can send it to Pat, but I haven't got his email. That's a very good teaching to listen to. Thank you.
What did you say the name of the teaching was, Jeff?
No, I'm not sure. I have to go and look. That's why I said so.
Okay.
I did it a couple of days ago.
Okay.
I'll do it and send it to Julie. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
I wanted to share something. Well, one of the things that scripture that came to my mind is, as Pat was sharing, was, you know, that in Philippians 4, in nothing be anxious, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and thoughts in Christ Jesus. But there's a set of verses in Proverbs, and you all know them, especially the first part of it. And I was thinking about these verses one day, and the Lord gave me a tune, and I to it, and I even personalize it. So I kind of like sing to the Lord as I sing it. So I'd like to share it with y'all. It's Proverbs 3, I think it's 5-8. (Clears throat) if I could do it now without laughing. Help me, Lord. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart, and lean not on my own understanding. I acknowledge you in all my ways, and you will direct my paths. I am not wise in my own eyes. I fear you, Lord, and depart from evil, for it will be health to my navel and marrow to my bones. I was a little on the low side on that. I was in the basement, but anyway, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Missy. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else got something they want to say? Is anybody getting anxious about what's fixing to happen? I'm not. I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited because I know what God fixing him to do. Y'all be looking at a new man, Lord of God. It's some new women too. Can y'all hear me? Okay, I'm wondering. There's no reaction whatsoever. Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead, Henry.
Again, I just wanted to say I was so encouraged by what David shared on Friday about, Lot and Abraham, asking the Lord, about him, all that he shared, because it was so encouraging, just, encouraging us to be Abrahams, and believe that the Lord's going to do the very same thing that he did for Abraham in answering his prayer and snatching them, even in his hesitancy, Lot's hesitancy. The angel said, let's go. And he's like dilly dallying, Missy's paraphrase, and he just took him by the hand and took him out.
Yeah.
So
that's what we ought to be praying. That's the way we ought to be praying. Lord, will you do it if there's 50? How about 40? Would you think about 30? All the way down to 10. That's
but the thing of it is, though, is he didn't answer his prayer really the way he asked it, because
right.
He still destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he snatched them out.
he got them out of harm's way, and that's what David was talking about. He was talking about praying to get your people out,
right.
Whoever you're praying for. That's going to be a lot of people that's going to be snatched out of harm's way because of your prayers. And the angels are sitting out there ready to do it, too. Yeah, Pat.
I did a little study on Lot there, because I asked the Lord, why did Abraham stop at 10? Because obviously Lot, the only ones that were saved were four. And, though I don't know that he knew how many were in his family, but without getting into a whole long deal or anything, I kind of, just looking at how old Lot was, how old Abraham, and how long they were, some of their ages when they came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then after they came and continued on there. As I got to looking at the verses there in Genesis, extrapolated or whatever, that the very minimum that Lot had in his family, the very minimum was 10, could have been about 10. And that's going by what the angel said to him and his comments. I don't remember. I wish I thought about it. I could pull it back up and look at the, just a minute here. So I looked there at, in Genesis, Genesis 18:17, when the Lord said, "Shall I hide what I'm going to do from Abraham?" And of course he said not. And he said, and at this time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was around 70 to 80 years old, probably. That's kind of a guesstimation. And, which gave him about 30 years time where he could raise sons and daughters there in Sodom. And when I questioned the Lord, I got to looking at the scriptures that said when the angels came in to Lot, they said, the men said to Lot, wait a minute. In Genesis 19:13, he said, I'm going to just click over there, quit stumbling around here. In verse 11 in Genesis 19, are you hearing me or hearing a bunch of drilling?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Verse 11, it said, they smote. They smote the men at the door of the house with both blindness. Are you hearing this? All this drilling that's going on behind me?
No, it's not bothering us at all. We can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. I just... They just smote the men at the door with blindness, both small and great, that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Well, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard David say that there is no punctuation in, I think it's the Greek. I don't know if that's the same for Hebrew, but in some of the other translations, this verse reads, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and sons and thy daughters and whomsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because of the cry of them as wax great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now it appears that the angels said, do you have any here besides son-in-law and sons and thy daughters? And down in verse 14, it says, Lot went out to speak with his sons-in-law who married his daughters. And said, get up out of here. But they mocked him, or they looked at him like he was a goof. didn't believe him, obviously. When I got to thinking about that, obviously the angels knew full well how many people, how many children, and, you know, were in Lot's family. But when he said, and thy sons doesn't say how many, but at least it's plural. So that's two. And thy daughters, we know he had the daughters in his house, in his house. That's four. And down in verse 14, when it said, Lot went out to his sons-in-law. Sons-in-law is plural. So that is two, at least two sons-in-law. And those sons-in-law, if he went out, had to have married two other daughters, not the daughters that he had in his house, but two other daughters. So at the very minimum, Lot had in his house him, his wife, his two daughters, his two sons-in-law, and his daughters from those two marriages. And then he had at least two sons. All of those added up together make 10. And the thing that got me was that Lot went out to his sons-in-law, didn't say anything about his sons. And yet the only ones that were able to be saved out of, through that process were those that were in his initial household. So it just hit me that Lot, because he had vexed his righteous soul in the midst of that environment, was not able to exercise faith for household salvation. But in fact, it was Abraham's faith of intercession that was applied in that particular situation, I believe. And it just shows the power of interceding for others, that and is what down in that next down below. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither thou in this plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And then down in verse 29, it said, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out in the midst of the overthrow. Lot was saved and his household was saved because of the intercession of Abraham. So, I don't know, it just kind of hit me on the power of prayer there.
Amen. All right, anyone else? I've got a little sign up here. I think I told you once before, but I'm going to tell you again. The shortest way to go straight to God was a continual exercise of love and doing all things for his sake. Doesn't make any difference how small or how big the job you got. Do it all for Jesus' sake. You'll be fine. And again, y'all mind if I read this again? Okay. Hear the word of the Lord by Debbie Finske. This is through Debbie. This is time to stop thinking about yourself. A mind on self is a worldly mind. Put it far from you. This is the time to have your mind focused on what I am doing and how I am going to do it and how I will use you and move through you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient to his Father. He was not obedient to his own inclinations. He had none of his own inclinations. He was totally yielded to every thought and way of his Father. And now you must be yielded to every thought and way of, you must be yielded only to me, to only me and my way of thinking. My way is love. My way is also judgment. My way is mercy. Think on these things. Come before me ready to let me speak to you the things on my heart, that you will intercede from a heart ready to fulfill my will in this time. I have given you authority to bind and loose. Let this mind be in you. Listen to me. I have an agenda. I want to speak to each heart and mind who wants to line up with what I'm doing. Warfare. Do warfare. As you are taking in my word, you will know how to pray. And you will know what I precisely want you to warfare against. Do you see this thing that I have called you to? Are you getting it? It's nothing about yourself or of yourself. It's my will. You are in my army. You are called to be soldiers. You are called to set yourself apart from the things of this world. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Renew your mind with the things that make for peace through prayer, which is my will for you to do each day. There's only peace in that. There is no striving. Are you going to give yourself up to what I have need of you for? There's only peace in giving up. And there is a work that needs to be done. Wars for souls that need to be won. Feel the freedom. My thoughts for your thoughts. My ways for your ways. My desires for your desires. Let us build the kingdom together. I can do it without you. But it would mean casting you aside. Oh, my people, how that thought breaks my heart. My people, hear the word of your Lord. Think on these things and act accordingly. And then David had one. I don't have it here. Somebody got it right handy? David Timichuk's word. It was just part of it. Go ahead, Missy. I got to add it to here one any day.
This is what he was hearing as Debbie was reading. Or as Michael was hearing it, Debbie's words. I started hearing a voice, and he said, when you're free from self, that's when you have the calm in your storm. When you're free of self, that's when the sea splits so you can reach the other side. When you're free of self, only then can you love me and the ones around you. When you're free from self, that's when you will abide. That's when you will be able to enter my presence. Am I worthy enough for you to give yourselves up to be with me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful words. Is anybody in the condemnation? Don't get no condemnation. Just do it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I try to read this every day to get myself straight and what has to be done. I try to read it every day so that I can do whatever it is that God wants me to do. Now listen, we all need to. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anywhere near where I want to be, where God wants me. But I'm speaking it, and I'm confessing it, and I'm believing it. And God's doing it. And that's what we need to do. You need to start confessing. Don't confess the bad report. Always, always confess the good report. Words mean something. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? We got about 6 minutes left. 5 minutes and 49 seconds. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, come on now. Missy, why don't you just keep your hand up? Go ahead. Just go ahead. Talk. You can talk. Do it, girl.
Oh, God. My sister texted me something earlier, and it just so encouraged me. She's really getting this thing and trusting the Lord for your health and healing. She says, read this deceitful, fear-mongering tool of the enemy. This is what was text to her. Hello, Lucinda. This is a text from Wellspan Health about the Gene Health Project, a community health research program at no cost to you. Learn about your genetic risk for certain cancers and heart disease. Da, 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 da. And I'm like thinking, you go, girl. You know, she's just not buying it, you know. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing her more of the depths of your salvation and your promises, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your healing her and overcoming and everything. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Anybody else? Hey, Debbie. Smile.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Barbara. Caught you, didn't it? Go ahead, Barbara.
I'd like to ask for prayer.
Okay.
I battle condemnation, and I just don't want it to hinder my faith. And when I recognize it, I cast it down. But I'm just really in a battle and need prayer. So I'm asking the body to pray.
Okay. All right. We're going to pray this condemnation off of you. And you're not going to accept it anymore. It's going to be gone, girl. It's going to be gone. In the name of Jesus right now.
Okay.
I command this condemnation to go from Barbara completely. Now, in Jesus' name, you foul spirit, you leave her alone. Yes. In Jesus' name, you go and don't come back. And I thank you, Father, she's going to be from this moment on confessing a good report She has no condemnation. She has none of that stuff. She only has Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for
and
complete
and I have bold faith.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank absolutely. You, thank yeah, you, Lord. Name. She does. She has bold faith. She has the faith of Christ. And I thank you for that, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
There are thank all you. Kinds of things out there on the web that tells you who you are in Christ, and they use the things in the Word of God to help you to confess who you are in Christ. I recommend that for everybody, and do it every day for at least 10 minutes, who you are in Christ. I probably got a half a dozen of them right here with you. Here's one of them right here. I am complete in him who is the head over all rule and authority of every angelic and earthly power. Colossians 2 and 10. It says, I am alive with Christ. Ephesians 2 and 5. This is who you are in Christ. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to confess who you are. You're abiding in him. I am free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 and 2. I am far from oppression and will not live in fear. I am born of God and the evil one does not touch me. When you confess the word of God over your life, you're bringing down those strongholds that have been collected up in your mind all these many years. They're being brought down when you do that. Confession. What does the word say in Proverbs about the tongue? It's going to make you or break you. That's what it's going to do. I'll just, in my language, that's what it means. It's going to make you or break you. I am born of God, and the evil one does not touch me. 1 John 5 and 18. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to confess who we are. When you do that, that enemy can't come anywhere near you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just praise you, Father, for all these wonderful people here. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I just praise you and I thank you, Father, for your word and all the promises in that word that we can confess who we are in Christ. That Paul told us all these things, who we are. All the epistles told us who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, what we can do, what God has promised us. And Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name for doing that for all of us. I've got a prayer here. Go ahead, Debbie. I'm sorry I didn't see your hand till just now.
Is that something you've sent out before, or you were just reading from?
No, I've never sent it out. It's
declarations?
No, it's the title of it, Who I Am in Christ. That's what I put on it. But you can go on the web, and there's all kinds of you go on Kenneth Hagin, any of those faith preachers, they've got all those confessions in there on the Word of God, and they're always about us. Yeah. Father, we come before your throne, and we yield ourselves to you, body, soul, and spirit, and we thank that your will. We thank you that your will be done in our life. Father, let your holy fire burn away all the deceptions and lies of the enemy from our being. Let all ungodly and religious frameworks around us that have manipulated and bound us in any way be destroyed right now in Jesus' name. Let every voice that speaks contrary to your word be silenced in our life in Jesus' name. And let our thoughts and understanding be by your spirit, and let the mind of Christ be established in each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for doing that, Father. Glory be to God. Do y'all believe that? Amen. Well, good night, y'all. It so was good to be with y'all tonight.